Live from Seattle, Washington, it's the Chris Perillo Show. Each week, Chris breaks down the latest technology trends, providing answers to your questions, conversations with tech luminaries, and the latest buzz from across the web. Now, here's Chris.
And we'll start this one with, this was actually the first track that I ever played on Staccato. This artist is Luzero, and he's on Alpine Cheek Records, and this track is called Bocamara.
Thank you. Chris Perillo Show, second hour live here tonight. Well, of course, if you're listening to it not so live, it is the second hour. And January 27th, 2005, heading right into the new year. I can't believe this month has already flown straight by, flew right by, but we thankfully got the show off the ground doing exciting things. Tonight, if you are listening live, I do want to send out a reminder that we're doing our first Geek at Dinner down the street from where I'm at in Leschi Beach. It's a restaurant called Blue Water. I've got a link for it over on, or to it, that gives you more information on the Chris Perillo Show website. So be sure, if you've got time, go ahead and swing by. It's going to be late, of course, because we're usually live Thursdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Oof. Well, it seemed to work out best because everyone's off of work by then. And, of course, if you can't listen live, we do have the shows available in an offline format, not only in MP3 but in WMA as well. And, of course, the show is sponsored by Microsoft Windows Media, and that's not the reason why we provide it in WMA format, but it's good to be able to have a sponsor, someone who believes in the efforts that we're putting forth with the show. And that is, and I've been asked several times, you know, what the show is about. It is a tech lifestyle show, which is why we can deliver, you know, short little interviews with people we meet at conventions or conferences, or, you know, throw up a fun little video that we may do. When I did Robert Scoble's party this past week, took some video footage, used MUVIE, and threw together a five-minute video with some Creative Commons music that was on the Wired CD. And tonight's guest, Matt May, has a podcast himself called Staccato, and it features nothing but Creative Commons music. And what we just heard was some Creative Commons music. But I'm not exactly sure who we just heard from. Matt, could you tell me?
Absolutely. That was, the last track you heard was Nenjin, and it was called Poly P. And you can get that on Endorphin Records. And almost none of that is going to be easy to transcribe, so I have links to it on my site at staccatomusic.org.
And we will be linking to Staccato in the notes from the show, as well as to sites where you can find all of these bands, so that you're not left in the dark wondering about our pronunciation.
Music?
Yeah.
What was that lovely music I heard? See, the thing is, Jake is going through all of the segments, like while the music is playing, he's like, "God, that's really good." Like, you know, like I'm going to bring this, you know, really horrible music.
Well, no, it's not. It's not that I'm expecting you to bring really horrible music. It's just that I didn't know what you were bringing. And, I mean, there are certain things that would resonate with me better than others. And so far, everything that you've brought, I'm like, that's really awesome.
See, that's the thing about the show is, I mean, this is the reason that I love doing it, because we're format free. I don't have any, you know, there's a lot of electronica, but that's because there's a lot of electronica on the web. But, you know, I've done blues, I've done jazz, I have this really broad, even a country song about a rock and roll McDonald's, in fact.
Oh, dude, Wesley Willis.
It was a tribute album to Wesley Willis called Loved Like a Milkshake, which you can get on archive.org.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so downloading that.
We should just download it. We'll play it. Let's play it later on.
Oh, my God.
The McDonald's track?
Rock and Roll McDonald's.
Okay.
It is the greatest song. It's just, you know, if you liked Wesley Willis, which he's like sort of an outsider artist, sort of guy,
homeless in Chicago.
Homeless, living in Chicago, and he died a year or two ago,
just recently.
And a bunch of artists in the Chicago area created this tribute album called "Loved Like a Milkshake," and they managed to capture sort of what he was about. I mean, he was this guy that just basically did, you know, crazy songs over a Casio keyboard. You know, that was his background music for all of the stuff that he did. And now they have all of these different genres that were doing covers of the stuff of the songs that he had.
Rock Over London, Rock on Chicago.
Rock on Chicago.
Wheaties, The Breakfast of Champions.
Exactly.
His signature, he would do Rock Over London, Rock on Chicago, and then a jingle.
Like Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah, the choice of a new generation.
The choice of a new generation.
It was crazy.
And the artists do that at the end of all of the tracks.
Dude.
It is awesome. I love that album, and right. it's one of the best downloaded on in archive.org history. There's 8,000 downloads of it so far, something like that.
I know I've grabbed a few Glenn Phillips live, and Glenn Phillips used to play for Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I subscribe to a feed where it'll pop up like where they've actually had the tracks. Usually, though, I've seen where you have to download different codecs, like FLAC is a different type of audio
right.
format.
Yep.
And I know I've seen a FLAC codec, like a plug-in for Winamps specifically,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, the line for Winamp, if you ever listened to it, the default MP3, it really whips the llama's something rather.
Yeah.
And that is a tribute to Wesley Willis.
Actually, if you download the from the Love Like a Milkshake CD, there is a track called Alanis Morissette, which was actually the first thing I ever heard by Wesley Willis. It was this DJ when I was living in Denver that played almost the entire album that they had there because they're like, dude, listen to this. This is so funny. And they played Alanis Morissette. It's just this guy going, Alanis Morissette.
It's so crazy.
And of course, if you are easily offended by four-letter words, this is an album that you should not check out.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the songs that we're going to play here on the air.
Rock and Roll McDonald's is work safe, so.
But the list of tracks that's on this tribute album, several of them contain expletives that you may or may not be offended by.
In the title.
Yes, in the title, even.
He wasn't exactly known as, a family-friendly kind of guy.
I would say a good word for him is scatological.
And he would butt people's heads at live shows.
Yes. He's known for that. Actually, one of my friends, a couple of my friends, lived in Chicago and knew this guy. I mean, he was selling his CDs out of a gym bag everywhere. You know, every club they would go to, he would be showing up. And so, yeah, everyone that was in the club scene in Chicago knew about Wesley Willis.
Man, it was one of the things. Someone said, "You've got to hear this," and I think it was a Rock and Roll McDonald's where I whooped Batman's something rather.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to play it safe. It was just one of those things that, who is this guy? And I had to learn more about him. And he's a personality.
Yep.
Almost like, and unfortunately, this is not work safe either, but have you ever listened to, and not exactly the same, but it's called MC Hawking?
I am somewhat familiar.
Head over to mchawking.com. Someone took it, and again, not family or work safe. They took the synthesized speech and they put it to music and beats and tracks, and they have it so that it seems like it's Stephen Hawking who's like a gangsta rapper, and it's so funny just to picture it in your head. Oh my god, is this really Stephen Hawking? But they use the same type of synthesized voice as you usually hear from Stephen Hawking.
Yeah,
it's another one of those things that the web has provided me that hours of entertainment. That I'll never get those hours of my life back.
Yeah, you have these moments, on the internet where you just the most amazing stuff that things that you would never imagine being mixed together. You know, the whole mashup culture thing. And
and define a mashup for me.
Okay, so with mashups, really, what you've got is two songs, each one perhaps unalike. That are where bits and pieces of it, or the bass line from one and the vocals from another are mixed up. I heard one of them, for example, the big examples are the Beatles and Beastie Boys mashups, and then there's the Jay-Z and
Jay-Z and the Beatles.
Yeah, the Jay-Z and the Jay-Z Black Album and the White Album, which Danger Mouse turned into the Gray Album, and then there was the
Jay-Z and Weezer.
There's a Jay-Z and Metallica one.
Really?
Which is like the Black Album and the Black Album were mixed together, and they've done Pavement, Slanted and Enchanted for the Slack album. They have now they have an album that's in stores that is a mashup of Jay-Z and Linkin Park.
Wow.
All of this came because Jay-Z released the Black Album just vocals, a cappella.
He stripped all the audio or all of the background audio out of it.
Yeah.
So for the purpose of DJs buying it and mixing it in clubs. And the natural progression of that was that DJs mixed it and put it on the web.
Yeah. And that was, but That was the first one, I think. I mean, that was the first really big one where everyone went, this is something new. You know, this is a creation. And Danger Mouse, who's actually ends up on the Wired CD, is this huge star out of seemingly nowhere, just for doing this remix. And naturally, Apple Records goes, you know, because they own the White Album. They threaten to sue him and, you know, take all of his records away and all of this, but...
And he'll just download them on the web.
Yeah, right. It's I mean, it was all over. Once they said, you know, we're going to... He did a run of 3,000 vinyl records to play in the clubs, and they were like, you can't sell those. So he's like, fine. Here, we can put this on the interweb, and here you go. And now there's, you know, this other track that I heard recently, which is a mix of a mashup between Scissor Sisters, George Michael. I think there's some Aretha Franklin in there. It's amazing. But the thing is, it works. It, like, the whole way through the song, even as the music is sort of peeling off and reformulating itself. This is a totally new new composition that was being created from these little parts.
So you bring up an important issue, which cleverly segues into the subject on which your podcast is based, and that is Creative Commons. And we don't have a lot of time right now. We're going to be taking another break listening to another of the songs. But I really want to dive into what makes Creative Commons that much different than, say, copyright or trademark. What is the reason why someone would use it or not want to use it? Not just on a personal level, but let's say they're at a corporation and they have to worry about certain rights that they need to retain or that their lawyers say they need to retain. How does Creative Commons work beyond the individual level? And really, if there are any major, big, recognizable companies who are taking Creative Commons seriously.
Sure.
It's something that I've seen for a while, and much like with RSS, when the CMS, or like blog software, a personal publishing platform, creates these templates or puts these tags in there, it makes me wonder, well, what is this? What's this all about? So that's how I found out about Creative Commons. It's because I had the tag in an RSS feed. And then, of course, it was also being published in the basic templates for my blog through Movable Type. And so that's where I started looking into it. But I still don't – I get it, but I don't really get it.
Okay.
And even though this show is under a Creative Commons license – I wanted to be able to, you know, further clarify that. So what song are we going to be listening to at this point, Matt?
Okay, this is an artist named Machina, and the track is called Subway Station. This guy's a Filipino, and so he's got his music on archive.org, and this is also on QED Records.
you are a rock star, you are a rock legend to the max. You can really knock it out, you can really whoop a horse's ass. Alanis Morissette, Alanis Morissette, Alanis Morissette, Alanis Morissette. You are a rocket maniac.
It's just a whole bunch of stuff that may not make any sense to you now, but as you get deeper and deeper into the culture that is Wesley Willis, maybe you'll understand a little bit
the
more.
The truth will be revealed.
It's just amazing. It's like it's being in the map room in Indiana Jones and Raiders in the Lost Ark. The sun has to be in perfect alignment. You have to have the right piece with the right jewel sitting in the middle of it.
And there was something about hearing, I guess this band was Delusions of Grandeur, doing Alanis Morissette, and that just wasn't quite the same.
As Wesley?
Wesley. No, it wasn't quite the same as Wesley.
Yeah, well, you know, you just can't copy an original.
Yeah. There's one track on there that, you know, there are quite a few. I think I played two or three so far on Staccato, but one that blew me away that I haven't quite, you know, got the nerve to play yet because it's pretty dirty is the first track. It was, but it's a Scottish singer with a like metal band behind him.
Oh, wow.
doing this, and it was just it's hilarious. It was the introduction to the entire album. But.
And that was Blood, Guts, and Fire Trucks.
Blood, Guts, and Fire Trucks. That's the one.
Which at least we can say the name on the air because yeah, there are some of the names that we can't even
you never
say.
Know. So this particular compilation, this CD, if you will, has been uploaded to archive.org. It's under a Creative Commons license.
Correct.
All right. So, the umbrella, Creative Commons. Tell me.
Okay.
What, why?
Well, so let's say we've got music, right? You have the CDs that you buy, and the music that you listen to on the radio, for the most part, is a commercial product. And in the United States, at least, your anything that you produce is and copy effectively is copyrighted to you, and that copyright can last for 75 years after you die. So, so when you create something and you want to spread it around, there's always this sort of veil over it. There's always this question mark on top of it as to, does this person want me to do this with their stuff? And that ends up with, you know, things like lawsuits. There was the Sugar Hill Gang, and they you know, took the background music from Good Times by, what was it, Kool & the Gang?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So that's all that's happening in the background of that song as they're doing Rapper's Delight. And then They went off and sued the Beastie Boys, who had all of their music on Paul's Boutique. All of their music on Paul's Boutique is stolen, you know, and everyone sort of knew that. But
well, and actually, most of the music on License to Ill was samples from like Led Zeppelin albums.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't have any idea what happened there, but you know, so Paul's Boutique I see as sort of the crystallizing moment in this idea of creating something completely different from all of these disjointed pieces in musical terms. So, but that's, you know, they were 10 years ahead of their time when they made that. I mean, I remember listening to this and going, this is not like anything that I'm hearing on the radio. But,
Well, if it was the Beastie Boys, that was probably for good reason.
Right. So, so now these lawsuits are happening where, you know, one person suing another for sampling three notes of a song, like an NWA song had three notes of, I think, George Clinton, something like that, where, now anybody who's podcasting music that they quote own is technically more than likely infringing on somebody else's property rights. So what the Creative Commons system does is it actually explicitly attaches what rights the owner of this work is willing to assign to other people. So you can use the Creative Commons, the metadata language that they have attached to just hand something out into the public domain, and there is at least one record net label that does that. All of the music is completely public domain.
Who's the record label?
That's 20 KBPS Records, and one of the other hooks about them is that all of their music is sampled down to 20K MP3s.
No.
Yeah.
So basically, it's public domain because nobody would be able to bear listening to it.
Well, the funny thing is that there's some stuff, and I might have brought one of these artists, S. Mueller, that it was actually so good that I played it on the show, because even with all of the overcompression and things like that, the beat and the feel of it, I mean, most of it is going to end up in the low end anyway when you're overcompressing like that. So it's a really cool thing. But anyway, the other things that you can assign to this is, for example, attribution. So all of these artists that I'm playing require attribution to go along with their music. So, so technically I'm obligated to say, you know, this is Siege Baton, that was Scream Club, so on and so forth, because those are the terms of the licensing to this music. A lot of artists have say that this must be for non-commercial purposes. So, you know, this show is licensed non-commercial. I saw that on the, on the site.
Attribution, so, non-commercial, no derivatives.
Right. So this is the other one. No derivatives is another one of the things that you can say. So this is technically not a derivative work of the music. It is a collective work, and collective works within the licensing criteria set by Creative Commons is allowed, so explicitly allowed. And then the last one is the most interesting one. It's sort of a GPL idea of share alike, which is if I share this to you under these rules, whether they're attribution and share alike or attribution non-commercial share alike, anything that you do with this has to itself be licensed that way. So so that's an interesting twist, because it perpetuates this Creative Commons licensing as you go on.
So basically, if I had a share alike on a work that I did, that then, and you made something with it, yours would also have to have a share alike designation that matched what I had done.
Correct. So technically, if you wanted, because essentially all of the other rights that you have are lined out for you in Creative Commons, you can broadcast the music, you know, with these, you know, provisos. You can file share this music freely. There isn't a limit to how many copies you can make. You can reformat it from MP3 into OGG or FLAC or Shorten or any of the other formats that you want. Those are available to you. Changing media if you want to burn it to a CD. All of these things which, you know, digital rights management technologies, and I'm gonna say this on a show that's sponsored by a product that uses digital rights management, but
the file in and of itself is not DRM'd.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Exactly. So, the systems that do the DRM are architecturally limiting your ability to burn to a CD, hand off to a friend, whatever. And there are some systems that are sort of on this grayscale of DRM. You have, the Apple FairPlay, which is a sort of lighter DRM. You have things like WeedShare, where you're allowed to share the music and they can play it n number of times. And after that, a financial exchange takes place, and the person who's sharing it takes a cut. So, but Creative Commons stuff is out there, and the really interesting part about it from my point of view is that idea that you can change this stuff around. You can this stuff isn't just a bunch of bits on a platter that you put in a CD player and that's all you ever do with it. You know, if you want to put it as the background for a video that you're producing, or you're doing voiceover. I use all of the music that I have that I play in the background on Staccato is Creative Commons licensed, so I can do all of that, and I can mix it. You know, I can mix most of these things if they're not no derivatives. I can remix all of it and release a completely new work, provided that I've credited the artists that are involved. And it's good to know that you're not going to get sued for this. This is sort of the tagline for Staccato, is music that's less likely to get you sued, which I can't say it's not going to get you sued, because, you know, then I'm liable by proxy, right?
Well, one of the things that has sort of been unclear to me, and this may not even be said, this is probably a discussion that would be better for a lawyer, but even in terms of Creative Commons, there is a possibility that the Creative Commons licensed music also has some kind of ASCAP or BMI affiliation associated with it, and the copyright issues do not address the creator of the work as opposed to the performer of the work, because those are two distinctly different things.
Oh yeah, and there's this whole legal forest that you have to navigate as far as mechanical rights and, you know, all of these other licensing terms and things like Harry Fox Agency and ASCAP and BMI and CSAC and you know, and on and on and on. If someone is sharing something, if someone is slapping a license on something that they don't legally have the right to, there really isn't any way that you would necessarily know that fact,
sure.
Right? I know that there are some, you know, cut and paste artists that you know, that they're taking bits and pieces, and in some cases in their jurisdiction that's considered fair use, and in others they just don't care. So the licensing in the artists and the labels that I listen to, I'm pretty careful not to be playing things that where I know there's an underlying copyright issue in the offing, right? You don't want to have this idea, well, I'm, you know, I want to, you know, share 50 cents, so I attach Creative Commons metadata and then put it out on the web, and then everyone goes, oh boy, you know, 50 Cent is Creative Commons artist. You know, I want to actually have the people who intend to have this music shared share it. You know?
Have you had any emails or phone calls or, you know, personal greetings from people who have had their music featured on your podcast?
I have been amazed. I've had probably at least one per show, and sometimes more, of somebody that I don't go and tell the label that I did this, but, you know, I put this podcast out on, you know, on the web, and I link to all of the labels, all of the artists, each track wherever it's available, and you know, so obviously the artists find out about the fact that I'm linking to them, mm-hmm. And they're like, dude, it's amazing. I can't believe that you played my song. You know, the idea is, it's such a powerful concept that you know, you can share more than just what's playing on the radio. So that's the really interesting part to me, is that now I have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people listening to this new music. To them, I can't imagine that a lot of the people that listen to Staccato have ever heard any of these artists before, and never would otherwise, because they're not going to be played on the radio, because they don't have a marketing budget. They don't have, you know, they don't have representatives hopping from radio station to radio station, or you know, engaging in Playola or whatever to get their artists up to the top. And here it's a pure meritocracy, right? It's a dictatorship, right? You know,
yeah,
I get to pick whatever I feel like playing.
If you think it's cool, it'll be on the air. If not, then it probably won't be there.
Exactly. But then, you know, who am I? You know, there's another show that I just discovered, and we're going back to back on a streaming site. It's on Free Matrix Radio, which is freematrix.us. It's Grant Robertson, and his site is called The Revolution. And we started basically at the same time, and he was streaming all of this stuff and doing a live show, and I went and started podcasting the stuff, and so finally we've just sort of joined forces. I think I said like a fierce musical Voltron or something like that. And you know, so the idea is, you know, anybody who really wants to do this, it's the most open market for that kind of talent.
And that's what I want to get into. We've got to take another breather here for a few minutes and listen to another song. But when we're finished with that, I want to specifically dive into really, yeah, obviously your passions of dabbling, to use your word, in
bricolage, the French call it.
This has brought you to this point, and you know, I'm curious as to what it was that really pushed you over the edge to do this. I mean, was it the whole podcasting evolutionary thing, or had you thought about doing it before and this kind of gave you the excuse? And then more importantly, I'd actually like to find out what you do in terms of going out and finding the music that's out there. I mean, how you and what you rely on for your resources. So with that, we're going to hear who again?
You might have heard of these guys. They're called the Beastie Boys. And this is off of the Wired CD, which I think we'll be talking about in the next segment. And this track is called Now Get Busy.
There's so many great things to be discovered on the web. And as we were speaking in our first hour, before the web was around, we had to rely on other people. And it's kind of come full circle in that sense. We're still relying on other people to help us find the good stuff on the web. The reason I started Lockernum oh so many years ago, back in 1996, was because I was finding the stuff anyway, so I figured, hey, why not share it with other people? Well, now Lockernum has evolved to the point where I'm empowering other people to provide a voice to help, and really letting other people kind of help each other. You know, and for me, that gives me enough of a feeling that I'm now starting to help other people help themselves. And finding good things online can be a trick. Even for me, my Google Foo, it's pretty strong. It ain't perfect. But I know it can be a challenge, especially if you know what you want to find, but you can't really put your finger on it. And more importantly, you just can't find the thing that you want to share with someone else. So what Matt is doing is finding music that's worth listening to. And if you haven't already, go ahead and swing by his website. The full URL
is staccatomusic.org.
We were talking during that musical interlude with the Beastie Boys.
You were talking with the Beastie Boys?
No, we weren't talking with the Beastie. Let me finish.
I got them on speed dial.
No, they haven't Creative Commons their number yet. Their phone number, that is. We were talking about possibly rotating in some music in the URL that usually goes through the live stream that Matt may be able to help kind of get us through, too. Last week we played something from Lisa Raine, and her music was actually pretty good. And that came as Jake was just looking for some type of Creative Commons music that could be used. Because, again, you don't have to worry about any type of copyright, trademark, you know, lawsuits. That's what Matt's doing. He's turning into a one-man radio station, and the bands are definitely sitting up and taking notice. But my question is, how do you find them?
Well, okay, here's the easy way, and it from the time that I started doing this, which was only November, I guess, maybe October, the Internet Archive, which is a fantastic service if you don't know anything about it, or you might only know the Wayback Machine or that kind of thing. This is just a server with a ridiculous amount of disk and bandwidth and redundancy.
They have at least a petabyte of data, according to an interview that we did at CES.
Yeah, and it's the amount of stuff they have, what they call the Prelinger Archives, which is essentially old video in anywhere from MPEG-1, MPEG-2, MPEG-4 format from, including government propaganda videos, Chevrolet commercials from the 50s and things like that.
Really?
Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's what we have to rotate in. We've got those old commercials, classic.
Yeah, and it's just and they have captured all of these things, and they're freely available. And another thing that they have is a live music archive. So all of the artists where you are allowed to bring in a tape, a recording device to actually do show tapes from back when people would bring cassette recorders in and trade their Grateful Dead tapes and things like that. There's a bunch of Grateful Dead that's on the site. There's an amazing amount of material. But the other thing that they have that was really interesting to me is net label music. And so they have an RSS feed. So every day I open up the RSS feed and there's 7 new albums or 10 or 15 new albums for me to pull down. I tend to download just about all of them except for Experimental Noise because
in your mind, that's not music?
Well, I want to find a mind for whom it is music. I mean, nothing against the people that are putting that stuff up, but I'm not interested in hearing. I even like industrial. Industrial, I've done on the show, but just hey. If I want to do that, I can go into construction. So. But anything else, I will go and download it, and I put it in an audition folder in my machine, and anything that makes the cut gets in my final folder, and from that I create my shows. So but as it is right now, I'm probably about 30 hours backed up on the shows on the music that I'm downloading. But it's a great central point for all of this. And then there are other places that I go and visit periodically, like macjams.com. All of the music on macjams.com is Creative Commons licensed. GarageBand.com, it's a little more difficult to find because you can't search on give me only Creative Commons licensed music on there. And so there are millions of tracks and hundreds of thousands of them are Creative Commons licensed, but there's a time breaking point where they started introducing those licenses, and so you have to really kind of look. And net labels And if you are a net label, I can't emphasize this enough, put an RSS feed out with enclosures.
Yeah.
Because for someone like me, like if you want to get your music out there fast, right, you put the album on the Internet Archive. So you're not paying bandwidth charges for this music that you're sharing. And then you put an RSS enclosures feed out for the people like me who are listening to everything that's coming out there.
I just did an interview with a guy named Mike, and Michael O'Connor, who is a regular contributor to Atlas Plugged. It's an online newsletter published by Musicians Atlas, goes out to about 70,000 indie artists and labels. And he was specifically asking me about the whole podcasting phenomenon, and I went into explaining the whole RSS thing in a lighter way, but essentially saying, yes, everybody, especially the indie labels and artists, need to jump aboard, because I can't think of a better way of getting instant distribution, not just through efforts like what you're doing, but with anybody. I mean, anybody can become a DJ of sorts,
right,
that has taste.
This is the funny thing. I've had a weird couple of days, but one of the trippier moments of the week so far has been, I got an email from somebody who said, my friend, he's in the music industry. He said, my friend sent me a link to Staccato, and he said, welcome to the future of music. And I'm like, oh man, that is heavy. you have this concept just happened. Okay, podcasting happened, and I don't tend to talk about the phenomenon. The thing that interested me and got me into this, two points on that. The first one was that now there are people listening. That the idea of, oh, here's an MP3, I can put it on my iPod or my portable device, or I can listen to it at work or whatever, latched on, and I've got this RSS thing that I can hook it to. Once those pieces were in place and people started listening, the podcasting arena sort of became viable. You know, it came to life, and having that audience was enough for me to start doing the show. And I have people who ask me, you know, can I do a show of my own? And I'm like, no, you must only listen to me. But no, actually, what I tell them is yeah, you know, like, I'll help you. I'll promote you. Just go and do it.
Well, because somebody else's perspective is going on anything is going to be different than your perspective on it. I mean, they may even play the same song, but they're not going to introduce it the same way. They're not going to, like, put the same tracks on the front and the back of it, and it's going to be a totally different experience.
Absolutely. Like, I don't want to be, you know, a popular. There go the fingers again. I'm doing that quotey thing with my hands if you're listening at home.
That's the Italian and German fingers.
Oh, okay. One of each. Two of each. Anyway, I don't want the show to be popular because, you know, because it's the only one out there. I want there to be this, to be a kind of meritocracy and people pulling in new artists and, you know, bringing them into the Creative Commons fold and trying to, I have two things that I want to do this year. I want to have 10,000 people listening each week to Staccato. And I want to get an artist from a label, you know, from a traditional CD-based label to release an album under a Creative Commons license. Those are my two big things for the year.
How do you think those are going to be accomplished? Not necessarily the first one. The first one, again, cream rises to the top. But the second one, how do you think you can play a part in bringing that about?
Well, you know, take the Wired CD, for example. I think, you know, people are getting it, right? They get the concept of actually daring to give the listener some kind of rights in the whole scheme. They have some, you know, they have some power over the media that is being directed their way. So when you have that and people start to get a hold of it, that becomes a really powerful thing. And the only argument that I've heard from artists about this is, well, it's going to cost me money. And, you know, for 90%+ of the artists that are releasing CDs today, they're never going to get any money from the CDs that they produce, because it all flows. I mean, it's a power curve. It's power laws that dictate that, you know, it's going to be Britney Spears or 50 Cent or, you know, the ones that are selling millions of copies. The record labels are going to take all of their marketing money and they're going to pour it into them, and the rest of them are going to be underwater because they got their, you know, because they have to, they get recouped for all of the, you know, for all of their promotional materials. They have to go on a tour for a year nonstop that they don't really make any money on. The first album, they're going to get maybe 8% of the sale price of the album, minus the quarter mil that the record label fronted to produce it. So, and then they're not going to get any airplay on top of it. And so you have to look for another way to get your music out there. And it's not just that it's, you know, that this is free as in beer. You know, it's free as in speech. You have this concept that you, that in the situation that you allow this, that not only can you share it around and get your name and make a name for yourself and become known, but you're empowering other people to sort of take your idea and run with it. And that's really just simple human communication. That's how we got where we are today. If we weren't able to communicate with each other, we would be nowhere. I mean, the wheel would be a fantasy. You know, that interaction is a key component of our society. So, I mean, when you look at, am I going to lose 5 record sales to, am I going to be a key contributing component of this society and this culture that we live in? I think I'm going to convince somebody.
Well, you'd hope. And some of the things that I overheard at the Blog Business Summit this week were not necessarily from people like you, me, or Jake, but more from the people who sit on the other side of the corporate veil, who have a boss to report to and have a board to report to, who worry about those 5 sales. As trivial as they may sound, sometimes to communicate with them and say, look, this has more validity because this is what we want, they don't always hear it. So is it going to take more Beastie Boys? Because, you know, quite frankly, out of the list on the Wired CD, that name was the one that jumped out at me, because it was the one I was most familiar with as a band brand.
Right.
They've been around forever, and, you know, I've known the name. It's not my kind of music. It's my brother's kind of music. It's my fiancé's kind of music. But with more, well, actually, was Chuck D on there as well?
Chuck D was on there.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I did recognize that name as well.
Fine Arts Militia.
Okay, I did recognize that name, and I'm just going off of memory from what I saw on the CD.
Yeah, and Chuck D has a history with sampling as well.
Yes,
so
he does. Which I'd imagine it behooves him to support this. And I wouldn't call it an effort. This is much like podcasting. It's an evolution, and I think this is what I'm in preparing a few speeches I'm going to be doing, one of which to a local marketing group where it's going to be just a handful of marketers, a few hundred marketers or so, if that many, who are trying to learn about, you know, the trends. And I was invited to speak in their upcoming session in April specifically about blogging, RSS, and podcasting. Well, how do I deliver that message to somebody without their eyes glazing over? And the way I'm going to approach it is in a way saying, you know, markets are conversations. It's the Clue Train manifesto,
right,
brought to life. Whether you want to do it, it's just going to happen. And Mitch Ratcliffe, this is the question he fronted me, but how can you convince them, give me a good reason to do it, not a reason why I wouldn't want to do it. if that makes any sense. How can we move from where we are today to where you believe we should be? And we don't have a lot of time right now because we're coming rounding down the second hour, but it's something I definitely want to dive into a little further in our third and final hour of this, I guess, sitting of the Chris Perillo show. And I also do want to dive into music formats and audio formats, because this is the first time I had ran across FLAC and shortened files, SHN files. I didn't even know what they were. And I believe they're lossless audio quality. And Jake knows a lot about that stuff. And I know, and not to bring up our sponsor again, but I will, because they are supporting the show, Windows Media does have a lossless audio format that plays just as well. So I can imagine.
Yeah, Apple does too.
Yep. They can play very well in this space, and that's good to know. Yes, again, sponsor, Microsoft Windows Media, been very, very supportive of our efforts here. So, yes, to anybody who doesn't think Microsoft isn't paying attention to this whole podcasting evolution, they are. Trust me on this. So, rounding down the second hour with Matt May, you can download the other 2 hours at the website, thechrisperilloshow.com. Hopefully you already have. Hopefully you've already synced it with your computer and are listening to it. Or if you're listening live, remember we got that Geek Dinner, 10 o'clock tonight, Leschi Beach, the link's on the website. So we've got a couple of songs for this, the end of the first hour, or second hour, and the beginning of the third. What are we going to be listening to here, Matt?
I think we're going to do a couple more off of the Wired CD.
Listen to the Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific.